Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgy?
Hard work and having fun.
F that. This is about winning.
Oh, yeah. This is about winning. This is about winning. And welcome into Judd's Hockey Show. Zolgad, Declan Goff, potential appearance from the Whisper. We don't know yet. We're hoping. But I bring to you, following the Wild's win tonight, a Wild care package. Victory Light care package roll. From St. Louis. It's the It's About Winning towel, which, of course, it's
oh,
about
wow.
effing
Look at this.
Winning.
Actually, let me do this. Let me give you a full screen.
Yep.
There you go.
And what we have here, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we have all the time in the world to hear from you. After one of the best road games I've ever seen, the Wild play and dominating the Blues, I've got, because our sponsor, of course, is my friends at Surly Brewing, Omar, Dave, Stu. Stu, happy anniversary. Saw a picture of him and his wife.
Oh, very nice. That's
also
very nice.
Chip Scoggins and his beautiful wife, Amy. Happy anniversary to you as well. But I got the Surly Brewing Furious. I've got the Surly Brewing Coffee Bender. I've got the, I believe that's Furious right now. Anyway. And we have all the time in the world to talk about what was, Declan, a damn near perfect playoff road game. And I don't say that lightly. Sports Dad does not praise often. But my God, if you were to draw up how to take a crowd out of a game, if you were to draw up how to what has to happen to effectively win a playoff game, the ingredients, much like good beer, were all stirred perfectly tonight. I talked about it on the talk because I was on TikTok between the first and second period and the second and third. After each period, I raved about what we saw tonight, and I will rave on this show about what we saw. It was off the charts good. I mean, that's all I have to say. It was off the charts. Lots of things to get to. Erickson Ek again, great. Fleury early saves that were absolutely instrumental, and then what the Wild scored 30-some-odd seconds into the first period. But just everything about that performance tonight is the blueprint for road success. Stayed out of the box. At the end of the first period, Hartman was challenged, I think, by ROR, my man crush.
You love
they
him.
They basically batted it away and said, I'm out of here. Not going to participate in your reindeer games. In the second period, the Wild, late in the second period, is killing a power play for the Blues. Dumba had taken a penalty. Foligno draws a penalty from Buchnevich and sort of gives Buchnevich a little jolt and then realizes they're going to call an interference penalty on our favorite guy, Patrick Roycey's favorite guy, Cowboy Butch Davis. And so Foligno literally, as I got on Twitter from a fan, like cartoon, like bolted to the bench, like, okay, I'm out of here now. I'm out of here now. Just a brilliant game, I thought.
Dude, from the opening shift.
The floor is yours. I'm blown away by this.
I can't. This is as high praise as I've ever seen you give
any
team. And look, they deserve it. They deserve it. So I'm definitely not surprised that you're this bullish here. But from the opening shift, man. And look, St. Louis is down. Two out of their top six defensemen. Scandella was a game time decision, and the Wild have taken advantage of it. Huso looks like he's completely a deer in headlights. He's not the same guy he was in game one. I would be shocked if they don't go to Binnington for game four. But in general, what more can you ask for from your team on the road in the playoffs and for them to set that tone right away? And then, I mean, look, Kirill on the second goal, like the first goal is nice, right? Like just a great one-timer from Greenway. He makes it 1-0.
Yeah.
But then Kirill, who comes in alone on a breakaway, misses, but has the presence of mind to throw it on the back of the goalie. I mean,
God,
Judd, how many times have we seen like, oh, there's Stella. Hi, Stella. I got Vinny roaming around here somewhere, but it's
Stella's
been
wanted
time.
To be on. She was on the talks and the kids love her on the talks.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
But now she wanted to appear on this show. I just said, absolutely. After that game,
it's past Vinny's bedtime, but I'm glad Stella at least did make it on the show. But at the same time, Kirill having the presence of mind to then throw it in the back of the goaltender.
Oh
like,
God.
How many times have we seen like a guy like Zach Parise just whack, 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 but has
or,
no skill.
Or you do the peel away.
Yep,
like you miss on the breakaway and then
mm-hmm.
you do the circle.
Mm-hmm. So
and you're gone.
Just to have the start that they did.
Oh God. Yeah.
It was golden. It was a perfect performance from the Wild. Can't ask for much more.
No. No, I mean, there's just so many big and little things, right? Big and somewhat subtle things that they did tonight. I mean, Fleury, at the outset of the game, the Blues could have scored, I think, like 12 seconds in. He makes a huge save. He, again, tonight made a variety of enormous saves, but they played such a smart game. And then what I loved, like, this is why I'm excited. This is why I'm praising them. And this is ordinarily why I rip on these teams, because I hate them a lot of times. But, like, tonight, the Blues get the ROR goal. It's 4-1, right? And then, you know, you knew what was going to happen. As soon as they got a goal, the crowd was going to re-engage, because the crowd was out of that game. And they were going to re-engage, and the Blues were going to start to engage a little bit, right? And Berube had shuffled up the lines, and so now the Blues have, you know, they're coming back. And I'm not, at 4-1, I was not like, oh my God, it's going to be tied. But that was, okay, let's see what you got, right?
Mm-hmm.
They Fleury made a few big saves. The Wild calmed the game back down. They calmed her down. And they controlled the puck possession. And I'm like, yes, this is a playoff team.
Right.
That's what you want. You want a team that can on the road. And right away then, the crowd was gone again. And now the Blues sort of went away again. And look, as far as the Blues blue line goes. So to your point, Scandella didn't play in the first two games. He came back tonight. Bertuzzo, who got hurt in game two, didn't play. Nick Leddy got hurt in game one. He didn't play in game two or three. And then Torrey Krug got hurt. But you know what? This is the playoffs. I got no sympathy. Like, you got who you got. And Dumba and Foligno are playing through pain. Kaprizov took an idiotic whack to the chest that he shouldn't have.
That was BS.
And they didn't call a penalty. That's a crappy. But my point is, you think his. And then I saw late in the second period, he went to the bench and it was something with his left arm. I'm sure he's black and blue. But you know mm-hmm. what he's going to do? He's going to play. Like, if you can play, I got no sympathy for, well, the Blues are down defense. Yeah, they are. And you know what? Dumba's playing on probably with one shoulder working. So you got who you got. But as far as game plan and execution and what Dean Evason did tonight, bravo. It's one of the best games I've ever seen this franchise play. It reminded me of how smart, although these guys are more talented by far, it reminded me of how smart the 2003 team was.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, just that self-awareness,
coaching.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That's coaching too. Dean coached great game.
And the Wild, Jacques did that 2003 and the Wild now. I mean, keep in mind, like, the Wild have more skill than the Blues. We said that on the preview episode going into this series, that the Wild had more skill than St. Louis. Top to bottom, they do. It's just the timeliness and the lethal power play of St. Louis gives them that X factor that does put the offense kind of at a push, right? Well, so far, the Wild are now taking the Blues out of their game. Like, the Wild are playing their game, God. And they're not stumping to St. Louis. Like, St. Louis is big, and I saw your Shen point on Twitter towards the end of the game. Like, every team has a Shen, right? Like, a Braden Shen. And by the way, like, I would love Braden Shen on my team. I honestly would. I like him a lot. But you can also not stoop to his level, and if you don't, then you're still going to be able to be successful. And the Wild aren't stooping to a guy's level like that. That guy exists. Like, they've had Steve Ott before, right? They've had goons. They've seen those kind of guys. Ryan Reeves for Vegas last year, you know, was in that similar boat. The Wild don't come down to that level. And that's very important, I think, when it comes to playoff time. And I know we'll get to Kevin Fiala here in a little bit. You had some questions about Fiala on the talk, Score North TikTok. By the way, hit the subscribe button on this YouTube channel for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. As we get also a full room of Wild fans here who are about to be ready to rock on Bentline, we're excited to talk to them as well. Don't got to wait till tomorrow. Talk about this. We can talk about this right now, here on Score North.
You know, it's funny. And
myself, Declan Goff.
It's funny you bring that up, Declan, because you know sometimes if you got one of these, and I love these, I'm old school.
A little.
You gotta wait. You gotta wait. You gotta
wait. What that looks like.
But with the talk and with the tube, you don't gotta wait. So with one of these, like, you know, I'll turn this on. There you go. You got that on. But you gotta wait.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't hear anything. So anyway, so here's the thing too about game one, game two, game three. The other thing is, so this is such an interesting thing. The Wild is built to withstand physical in the playoffs, but in this series, because the Blues power play is so good, they're not meant to try and retaliate. So it's not just that Shen, like some people are like, Shen deserves a beatdown. No, you don't want that. You don't want to, if the Blues power play wasn't so good and your penalty kill hadn't been so suspect, you might do that, right? But that's why Foligno purposely, I mean, that's coaching. He was told, they were told, skate away from anything. They can withstand the hits. But what they can't do is get mad back and retaliate. Because then if they go, that's what the Blues want. So like Shen is ineffective if he's allowed to just run around. If he's beaten up, he's effective. That's helping him. He wants you to do that. So like this is all about turning the other cheek. As a Catholic, this is a very Catholic series.
Wow,
it's a very Christian series. You turn the other cheek, but that doesn't mean that you're being weak. Weak is if you're like, oh, I'm getting beat up. What the Wild is built to do is withstand this. Now, next series might be totally different, but within the confines of what we saw in game one compared to game two and three, I love the fact that they basically said, St. Louis, you do. And St. Louis in the first period was running around like madmen. And the problem they've got now is this. That's the 2019 Blues. They're reverting back to the team that won the Stanley Cup. Problem is the roster's not the same. The Blues should actually try and go skill versus skill because they can score goals. But instead, they're like, we're going to rough up the Wild. And their problem is, one, it's hard to rough this team up because they're tough enough. And two, that's not your DNA for 2021-22. That's your DNA for 2019. So anyway, there's just a lot of things that Dean did a great job tonight of preparing his team for. And the last two games have absolutely been demonstrations in lots of ways of the X, Y, and Z of how you win playoff games.
Praise be to Kirill, and also with you, Marc-Andre Fleury. That's exactly all I'm off to say there. Turn the other cheek. All right, Judge, should we get some Wild fans here?
Yeah, let's,
a whole list of
I'm
going to
break open a Surly Furious.
You crack that open. And as
let people talk.
As we do that, let's get that guy, RJ. RJ, how are you, pal? Welcome to Wild.
Hey, guys, how are you? Hey, thanks for having me back on. Hey, towel waving game. So much different than when I was last on. Judd, I wish I could see you wave the towel, but we'll save that for the Game 7 victory. You got it? If you got it, go for it.
I can do it. I can do it for you, RJ. I can wave that towel. They deserve a towel wave night.
They do. I tweeted at you, and I think you saw it, but Fleury was phenomenal tonight. I was so blown away. And Declan, I so adamantly disagreed with you them going Fleury into the series. I thought Talbot deserved it. I could not have been more wrong. And I'm going to give all credit to you and all credit to Dino, who actually makes those decisions.
Yeah.
Don't
give me the credit. That's Dino thing.
you were an advocate for it, so I'll give you a little bit there. But oh my gosh, like I thought he was the difference maker tonight. He made some huge saves, some flashy saves, classic Marc-Andre Fleury says, I think they showed on the broadcast, third tied for postseason wins. Absolute performance by a true professional tonight. That trade truly paid off tonight. That was my one takeaway. Like you said, the crowd was completely out of it. I was racing home from being out with the boys. And I missed the first two goals, but I was so happy to turn that game on and see the difference. And I watched this game. But it was great. And then one last request for you before you guys let me go. Get Surly in Indiana. I go to school in Indiana. I love the Furious. Can't wait to be back home. Get Surly here in Indiana if you can. I wish I could have it here, but I'll have to stick to my regular boots here.
We'll work on that, okay?
We'll glad to get that on there, RJ. Thank you, dude.
We'll get
I'll text Dave. I'll text Dave right now. We'll try.
They actually are trying to get in different. It's not as easy as it appears, but yes, I am. I appreciate every one of you outside the state that sends us notes about please get Surly here. You know what? I can tell you right now, they'd love to be in every possible market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to his point too about Marc-Andre Fleury, like Fleury was exactly what you've wanted in the last two games. And even I can make the case that in the first game, he wasn't the problem issue. He wasn't on his A game as he was in games two and three, but he's been the same Marc-Andre Fleury. He gives up rebounds. The defense is selling out. They're clearing those shots. They weren't doing that in game one. And having Fleury here is that calming presence, man. And look, could this team be up 2-1 right now with Cam Talbot net? Sure, they could. I'm not going to rule it out. But Marc-Andre Fleury was not acquired here, I think, to sit behind someone like Cam Talbot. And Talbot has that awareness, too. So I think it's a great problem the Wild can have.
So the other thing that's really, to me, intriguing about this entire thing is, so I do think Dean brought him back in game two because he wasn't at fault for game one. He didn't play great, but he wasn't at fault. But I also think, and this is sort of the genius of Billy and Dean, too, which is what I love about this. Have you noticed the guys that have cups or have played in a ton of playoff games have a calmness that is just so helpful? Fleury's won three cups. He's been on playoff runs, right? He came back in game two and there was no, oh my God, He let in another soft goal, right? Like everything he does, like tonight at the outset of the game, he made some huge saves. They score. The second guy, Tyson Jost, played a ton of playoff games, right? And he's a fourth line center, Declan. But the last two games, Tyson Jost played really well. And again, he's calm. He knows he's been here before. The importance of having been here before in the Stanley Cup playoffs is so important. And then the last guy is, and he deserves credit for his two games so far, Goligoski. Got scratched. I thought he should have been scratched. Game one, Kulikov was terrible. Goligoski has been a stabilizing, and that's what I want. He's been a stabilizing force, and I think it's because he's got a cup. And again, he's been here before.
Totally. Let's keep rolling here on Wild Bent Line. We got a whole room full of guests. Zach, how are you, pal? Welcome back.
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man. What'd you think?
Great game. I thought Fleury played remarkably well. Those first few shots on goal, early first period, were huge, setting the tone. I think we need to give Billy Guerin a lot of credit here. This is what we've always been saying from all of our general managers. If you believe you have the pieces, go make the moves.
Yep. Amen.
And I think one of our most underrated players that we've had since we traded for him is Middleton.
Yeah, dude.
No question.
His back check where he just pokes the puck away right before they get the shot off, it's been unreal.
Zach, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks, yeah, Middleton's been that calming presence. And look, I ripped the Delorier trade on the surface. I was like, what are they doing trading a mid-round pick for someone who's just going to play fourth line minutes and he's got a role? You ripped Jacob Middleton after the first game. Said, I don't know if this pairing's going to work with Jared Spurgeon. And I said, well, why don't we give this a little time? Both of it. You said give Delorier time. I told you give Middleton time.
Right.
To his point, to Zach's point, and I forget who, I think it was Thomas in game two that said, this team would look completely different. Like these acquisitions that they made at the deadline, this is the Wild's core. Like they'd be huge. Nothing without those acquisitions.
It's huge. Middleton also has the size, and he's certainly not a goon, but he's got the size where he's the guy that we have wanted for how long on defense. He's not sexy. He's not great, but you know what he is? Stable. He's stable and he's big enough that he's not pushed around. He's tough enough. It's just absolutely outstanding. That's a key one. The other thing that was just brought up, and it's a great point, is this. Last two games, how good have the sticks and lanes been?
Yeah, dude.
They are
huge.
Unbelievable.
I would say that the thing that I'm probably saying the most at my television is great stick. Great stick, yeah. Just getting in the lanes and deflecting passes and intercepting areas. It's huge. And that they weren't doing that in game one. They just weren't. Right. And Fleury was giving up those rebounds, and half that is on goaltending, don't get me wrong, but your defense has to sell out too, and they've been doing that at such a successful rate in games two and three, and it's been a huge difference maker.
Block shots are cool. Block shots are great, but my preference is never let the shot get off because you put the stick in the lane and you intercepted it. Doing a great job there.
All right, let's keep it rolling here in Wild Vent Line. Son of Zookie.
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Me and the girlfriend here were at the game the other night, and that was a crazy awesome game. She's only been to two games this year. We went to the Valentine's Day game and that game, and she's seen two hat tricks. So she's a good luck charm. I have to go to game five.
You have to be at game five and then seven if necessary, but I don't think we're going to need it.
Drive to St. Louis.
I just want to ramble off a couple quick things. This is my first time on since the Vikings season, and then before I was on during the Vegas series a couple different times. But nice. Really enjoyed the show you guys do. We were also at the Surly event. Awesome. Thank you guys for doing that. Do it again. We'll be there again. Us two stars to actually walk up and say hello, but, you know, that's another story.
But
I want you guys to talk about how I feel like having a GM who's been there and done that and won trophies really makes a difference. And having an owner who lets that GM do his job makes a huge difference. And maybe the Vikings could even take some notes along with that. I'll sit back and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, dude. I think the important thing, though, is I think that Bill Guerin said, I'll take the job if I can do it my way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Craig had a lot to do. And look, I'm indict myself here with Parisi and Suter. Craig clearly had a lot to do with how Fletcher thought. Fenton got the job. Paul did some good things. But that's when Craig's like, we need some tweaks. And everyone's like, no, you need to blow this thing up.
Yeah.
And I think when Bill got the job, Billy is so no BS. I think he's the type of guy who would have said, I'm not taking the job unless I can do what I want. Because I know how to win. And he does. And let's be honest. This applies to Phil Mackey, Declan Goff, Judd Zolgad, and a lot of you. We don't know how to win.
You don't.
We don't know how to win. And I'm insulting myself as much. But we in the state don't know how to win. Bill Guerin has won cups. He's won 4 cups total, 2 as a player, 2 as an executive with the Penguins. He knows how to win. Look at what Fleury did tonight. He's not perfect, but you know what he is? Calm in the face of immense pressure. Do you know what we do in this state in the face of immense pressure?
There's no room for petty bull.
So I give Bill credit because my guess is Bill Guerin told Craig, I'll take this job, but you got to let me do it my way.
Judd, quick point on this too. Frank Cervelli pointed this out, I believe, on Daily Faceoff, because the cap's going up next season. By up, I mean it's going up to $82.5 million, but because of teams being over the cap or buyouts and whatnot, the Wild technically, even though the cap's going up to 82.5, they only have 69, hashtag nice, $500,000 in effective cap space for next season.
Mm-hmm.
So they only have $69 million to play with to fill out their roster due to those buyouts to Parise and Suter.
Yeah.
So, and look, this is also a larger conversation for the offseason, of course, but it's also that risk and that problem that they're going to have to deal with for the next 3 consecutive offseason was worth where this team is at right now.
The reality is this, Declan, and I can say this with a lot of confidence. The reason why these trades were made and the reason why this team is clearly right or wrong, it's right, but I mean, whether it works or not, why this team is going for it is because of that. There's a realization that the Wild might have some very nice high draft picks in the next coming year. I mean, things could go great, but they also could fall apart. They're going for it because of exactly that, because they know what the price of poker is. Again, somebody who knows what they're doing is calling the shots here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the Wilfs.
Nope.
Well, it'd be fun to just be good. No, it'd be fun to win a Stanley Cup. And then you guess what, too? By the way, if you win a cup and miss the playoffs, yeah, that sucks, but you want a cup. Ain't no one in this town going to complain if you win.
No kidding. Let's keep it rolling here on Wild Bent Live. Full room, over 1,000 people watching us right now. Thank you so much. Hit the subscribe button right now on this YouTube channel for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. That's Judd Zolgad. I'm Declan Goff. We are the 2 members of Judd's Hockey Show. Phil Mackey, the Hockey Whisperer, is crafting his takes for Monday when the Wild are up 3 games.
Is he not going to join us?
I don't know. I've been waiting for a text. I was texting him earlier tonight, but I don't know. He look. The Hockey Whisperer does what the Hockey Whisperer does.
I'm going to text the Whisperer.
Okay. You let me
know.
You
get back to the calls.
Let's keep it back to the calls here. Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt. How are you, pal?
Good. What's the Dan Patrick Show? First time? Long time?
Long time.
6'195"? Ding.
Oh, you're in good shape, though.
Thank you.
It's more fun if you're fat.
Fun fact, it wasn't Livia, but I'll put a plug in for Livia. I used to weigh 260, Phil, in high school, and my knees feel much better now. I'll tell you that. So plug for Livia. I'm actually calling in from Iowa. So one of your fans down here in central Iowa. Love what you guys do. I wanted to talk about, Dex, your comment on good sticks. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. My wife was sitting next to me, and I think she got tired of me saying it after about the 10th time. I was like, wow, great stick. Can you talk a little bit about, I guess I'm kind of a hockey initiate. Every time the Blues got near the Wild net, I'm not sure if it was their over aggression or what caused it, but all the Wild did all night was disrupt their passes in the offensive zone and almost immediately clear the puck as soon as they got near the net. And I actually saw that frustration. I think it was after the 4th goal, Judd. I want to say it was Riley or somebody after they scored. He banged his stick over the back of their net and almost broke it. Not out of frustration, I think, that the goal had been scored, but they had been held to absolutely nothing. And to see that visual frustration was, well, I mean, I loved it, obviously. But what did they do specifically to disrupt so many passes tonight?
I think that, well, first of all, it's being smart and effort. And it's probably film work a little bit, too. But I think what they do or what they did was they have the awareness, first of all, to know what the Blues probably like to do, to know where those passes are going. And I don't think having good sticks is like a great talent. I think it's hard work. I think it's I think attention to detail defensively is the biggest deficiency that a lot of hockey players have, because it's a lot more fun to get the puck and go, right, Dex?
Yeah, totally.
Taking lanes, and I'll give you a guy who's magnificent, and he hasn't done a lot. Again, this is where I struggle with getting down on guys. This guy hasn't done a lot in the series, but he definitely took away a goal from the Blues that almost certainly would have made a 4-3 in game two. Our guy, Freddie Gaudreau.
Yeah.
He is a marvelous stick. He has a marvelous sense of where the passes are going. And so it's things like that. And you know, penalty kill, breaking up passes in the defensive zone, I think it's smart, but it's a lot of work. Yep. It's not sexy. It's a lot of work. And I will go back to what I keep saying, which is playoff hockey's a lot of work. Like, it being is. Successful. I mean, look at what the deficiencies of the Wild were in game one. They didn't pay the price.
Mm-mm.
And that's sort of where I think the advanced metrics screw around with your mind in hockey, because the advanced metrics don't necessarily help you with who's paying the price.
Right.
They reward skill, puck possession. You know, if I skate the puck out and I got it, I'm getting points for that. I'm getting credit for that. But what does it mean if I'm not doing it effectively?
Totally. Let's keep it rolling here on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to our guy, David. Hi, David. What's up, bud?
How are we doing, guys? We got a change of scenery for tonight. Game one, after that, I was nervous about the rest of the series. Game two was better. Still had some nerves. Game three, by the middle of the third period, I had finished folding my laundry. I was so comfortable with how this team was playing.
I love what you're doing. I love how you're thinking.
And I had a non-sponsor beer to finish off here.
That's okay. No, that's okay. Fine. That's fine.
Couple things. First of all, Edmonton's killing the Kings. They may make it out of that side of the bracket. That's how good they look right now. They are destroying the Kings. Blue line, the Wild have shut down the Blues' entrance to the blue line. That's been great. Mm-hmm. Fleury cleaned up the rebounds for the most part. Either they're getting smothered or there's people to clean it up. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Greenway has turned it around, and that grief line looks like the best line in this series. And I don't know if it's particularly close. My question is, and this, again, somebody who's smarter at hockey than me, if the Blues switch from Uso to Binnington, mm-hmm. what challenges does that present for the Wild going forward? Like, what's besides the cup winning pedigree? What is the change in his style from Uso that could give this team trouble?
Sorry, I hit a little quick trigger there, but
he didn't say anything bad either.
I'll say this about Binnington quickly, Judd. Here's my amateur take on that is, if you start Binnington game four, which I think it's likely at this point, I wouldn't call it a lock, but I would be pretty surprised if they give it back to Huso for game four. Binnington's been there and done that. He's a little bit of a wild card. He's a little bit of a head case. He might be mm-hmm. what that team needs mm-hmm. to get their game going. Mm-hmm. Or, knowing how this team just looks goaltending-wise, with Huso not being in there before, Binnington not being the same goaltender he was at, look, helped this team win a Stanley Cup. So he's done that before, but he just hasn't been the same goalie since then. It'd be a big gamble from St. Louis, and I think at this rate they're going to have to potentially have to pay that to risk, you know, risk it to get the biscuit, for the lack of better words. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Binnington goes for game four and gives them a different vibe to try to get that team rolling.
I agree that they might change. To answer the question, I think you change nothing. And I don't think there's any, like, issue. Right now, you are controlling the series. And part of that's mental. Binnington, the change to him might give the Blues a brief jolt. But everything that you've done the last two games, especially tonight, was damn near perfect. So there's no, like, real fundamental change of, well, he has a different style, blah, blah, blah. You play your game. The Wild didn't play their game in game one. It's why I don't care what you tell me about how they did play well. They got away from some of the fundamentals that make them successful. Binnington and Huso do not have the experience, even though Binnington has a cup, that Fleury has. But most importantly, you just continue to play your game. And you know what, too? This is a very important point. The Eriksson Ekholm, the grief line, in the playoffs, slotted the way it is right now, is a line that championship teams have. Because what do? They match up against the best offensive line on the opposing team. But the best offensive line on the opposing team can't handle it when, and this is the tough nut to split. They can't handle it when your line that's supposed to shut them down has offensive skill as well and can turn and make them have to go on the defensive. So you just continue to play your game. And you've also got, flat out, the best player in the series, one of the best players in the league, in Kaprizov, who, by the way, is more complete than most star players, which is why he's a superstar player. So all of these things don't make me concerned. I really think, and this is spouting the company line a bit, but I really think, Declan, as long as the Wild plays their game and sticks to their game in this series, they're now in good shape.
Yep.
So I'm not afraid of, like, what are the Blues going to do? Are they going to change goal? They can do whatever the hell they want as long as the Wild, to use a cliche, plays within itself.
I told you going into Game 3, who wins Game 3 wins this series, and I'm not going to back off from that.
I heard the stat it. On TNT, too.
Yeah, so 67% chance that when teams go up 2-1, they win the series. Oh, and TNT, by the way, phenomenal. Biz Nasty is great. He needs to be on every type of... The dude was bragging about being up, hammering beers.
Biz Nasty is great, and he's fantastic, but your friend Judd was on the talk when he was on, so I'm
and Judd upset. And Judd did a great job on the talk. Kids love Judd. I feel like they love the TikTok. They do.
Stella,
they
you
do.
Watched, right?
Yeah. Stella watched. Stella watched. So did Vinny. Vinny's asleep right now. He was a big fan as well. Keep it going. Hi, Bubba.
Hey, what's guys. Up, how's it going?
Bubba.
Good, man.
Judd, it's fine. Yes. Yes, I figured I'd wear this so you could kind of put me and our Twitter picture together because we talk on Twitter all the time. Declan, yes, Biz. The game was awesome, but Biz, oh my gosh, like that was the most entertaining intermission I've ever seen. And you know what? I will give the Wild this too. You know, when the Blues started pushing at us, you know, trying to poke the bear to see if we would, you know, start causing dumb penalties. We played calm, cool, and collect. And it was like, okay, if we can play like this the rest of the series, I am not worried one bit at all.
Yeah. Yes, because my point is exactly that, is if you continue to play your game, I think they're just going to win.
Yeah, man.
Like, and the Blues are going to come out more fired up on Sunday for sure. It's going to be tough. I'm not trying to say they're not going to walk through this whole thing. But yeah, I mean, the style that they've played the last two games absolutely is a playoff formula to win series.
They're playing playoff hockey. And by the way, well, let's maybe go on a little rant here before we go to the next next group of callers here on Wild Bentline. Hit the subscribe button, Judd's Hockey Show, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, and the ScoreNorth app. My guy, Kevin Fiala, has been a passenger this series. He's been a passenger through three games.
Okay, let's talk about that for 1 second. Second period, I agree. Blues goal, he has to clear that puck.
Yep, that was a bad.
So he has been a passenger. He's not been great. First period, I felt like he actually had, and third period, he had some opportunities. This reminds me a little bit of early in the season when he had some chances and didn't score. And then he goes on these incredible, just bizarre heaters where he's off the charts. I'll say this. I have, in games 2 and 3, I have a hard time getting down on guys.
Yes.
When they play that completed game. Like, correct. I struggle. I love to jump on guys that don't play well. But is Fiala not scoring, or is he flat out playing poorly?
Because
I'm not sure. I see stuff about Hartman. Well, he's not doing this and that. Well, one, he scored an inordinate amount of goals for him. Two, I feel like he's actually doing some good things defensively.
Yep.
I struggle to like really criticize off tonight's game.
I agree too. And look, yeah, when you're up 2-1, good things are happening.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
It's not. No, he's just been a passenger. He's been a passenger, and that's okay. That's okay right now.
But
you're up 2-1.
Chances. I mean, he's getting some chances. I when I don't see him, I worry. When I see him and he gets stoned by the goaltender, and then he gets frustrated. He's getting chances. His goals will come.
I agree.
Like, his ups and downs are incredible.
We'll keep it rolling here on Wild Bentline. Sam, who's waiting on, gladly turn your camera on, and I'll pop you on here in just a little second. But in the meantime, let's go to Ryan. Hi, Ryan. How are you, bud? Ryan, you got us.
Hey, yeah, yep. Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on again. So couple things tonight. I actually took notes tonight. I'm going to beat a dead horse, and I'm going to say defense, defense, defense. Like we've been saying all night, sticks and lanes, screen chances. It was unbelievable. Clearing pucks when Fleury had some of those rebounds. Then I'm also going to ask this question. It's going to be really early to tell, but is Kirill Kaprizov the best Wild player we've ever had? Four goals in the NHL postseason. Like, leads the postseason. I think somewhere they said tonight he leads the NHL already in postseason points. I think he has 7 or 8 points already. Like,
but I'll stop you right there. He's the best National Hockey League Minnesota player ever.
Okay. All right.
The North Stars never had anyone this good.
he's wild. And then I was going to say, before I leave, that goal he had, speaking, you know, on him, that was Pierre, you know, he knew that was coming. Like, he planned that. That wasn't just a whiff. I think I turned to my wife and I was like, he planned that. You know, I think a lot of players would just kind of shoot it and, oh, it went in, lucky. But no, he looked back and he saw it, but that's all I got. So great win again. So thanks for having me on again.
Awesome stuff. Ryan. Taking notes too. I love that.
Gotta love the paper notes. Yeah, that is his point of Kirill meant to do. That wasn't I'll center this puck in. No. He knew what he was doing. He absolutely knew what he was doing.
Right, but what impressed me the most was he stuck with a play to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what – it wasn't the – so the superstar part of his brain did that on purpose, mm-hmm. but the hard worker part of his brain stopped to do it.
Correct.
I mean, that's not normal.
No, that's impressive. That's damn impressive. Let's keep it rolling here. Wild Vent Line. JD, what's up, man? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
Gentlemen.
What's up?
Can you hear me good?
Yep, got you.
Perfect. Hey, hey guys. Longtime listener. I've called once for the Vikings, but I haven't called for the Wild. I just want to say this. Judd, I love you, man. Like, takes. You are awesome. Like, religiously listen to this channel. I just love your takes, man. Like, they're sober. They're not too big. Wow. They're not too, like, diminishing. Like, they're kind of right in the middle. And they kind of get us Minnesota fans who have been, you know, quite honestly deprived of a lot of stuff. They get us kind of the right amount of hyped up. So, thank you, Judd, for all your service. And Dex, thank you for all you do, because this channel is great. I love this channel. Regarding the Wild's victory tonight, like, what a victory, right? The Wild looked dominant. I heard a few other callers talk about this, but in the lane was big, whereas game one, we didn't see that, right? So I think that was a big thing. And I don't really know what causes that, Judd, right? Like, is it just more effort? Like, are we just skating better? Like, are we giving more energy? Like, why do we stick our sticks in the lane more tonight versus, like, in game one when we didn't, you know? Like, I don't really know what causes that. Like, I know hockey is kind of a weird thing, but I'd like to hear your take on that. And I'd also like to hear your take on the career path of number 97, and like what does, like, does he have Hall of Fame on his record?
Yeah,
good stuff.
You're, go ahead, Judd.
Breaking up a bit there. So one is the sticks and lanes. I think, again, is hard work. It's probably film work about knowing what tendencies are as well. I mean, I don't think it's like this great skill that you develop. I think it is applying yourself. And look, I think in game one, the Wild a little bit had read their own press clippings. I think, you know, I mean, they played like they were like, oh, we're the Wild. We're really good. They shouldn't have, but they, you know, there were a lot of things about that game that bothered me. And I know hockey's random and weird at times, but that to me was more than that. That was not just game two was just different because it's hockey. I think that's a lazy explanation. And so, yeah, I think that they worked harder. I think they've been more diligent. I think that they definitely in their defensive zone, which is the most important thing, the last two games have been damn good. In game one, I thought they were lousy. So that's the, you know, that's the first thing there. And then what was his,
The career trajectory.
Oh, Kirill Kaprizov. he's a Hall of Fame talent, no question about it. I mean, he's got to put together a longer career, obviously, but he's a Hall of Fame talent. He is, I mean, it's not close. He is the best Minnesota player, best Minnesota National Hockey League player, not necessarily from here, although that's probably true too, but the best one that's played for the North Stars or Wild that I have ever seen. And I think from talking to people who saw the North Stars, who were an expansion team in 1967, I think they also agree he's the best player. He's the most complete player. He is, you know, for all we could say, like, well, Gabrick was a great goal scorer, but Gabrick's far more comparable to Fiala. Kirill Kaprizov does things that very few human beings can do on hockey skates. It's that simple. Neil Broughton was a fantastic playmaker. Was he as good as Kirill, though, overall? Absolutely not. So, yeah, Kirill Kaprizov, if he continues to play like he's playing now for several years, is a Hall of Fame player. No doubt.
I agree with you. Hands down, he's the best Wild player I've ever seen. Opa, as Nathan says.
Which they've started to play now after goals, which is fun.
I do love it. Hi, Brody. What's up,
buddy? Hey there, guys. First of all, amazing dominant game 3 win. I also wanted to kind of show off a little bit of my man cave back there. I got a framed Mark Johnson jersey. A picture of Gabrick that was signed by him. Nice. And if you wouldn't mind, I could show you one other thing real quick.
Yeah.
This is my Wild Watch studio. So, Judd,
you need this. This is what Judd needs.
Where's my invite, dude?
And then I've got my basically sports corner with the Brodine gloves and pucks and signed baseballs and a whole bunch of other stuff. But if
love
you
it.
Give, awesome. Give me 1 second. I do have the lights.
Well, look at that. That's damn cool.
But I'll go back to talk about the game.
No, great. That's awesome. Thank you.
Love it, man.
Love seeing the caves.
It's quite
the man caves are always welcome, sports caves.
It's going to be a little bit different in my next home. I'm getting married soon. So
congratulations. I'm
going to adjust a few things. But yeah, as far as
just keep it downstairs. She'll be fine with it. Just don't try and put it in the living room.
Oh, yeah. No. It's going to be in.
I got my own room here. See, this is my room.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's jammed in this room.
Just as far as game 3, that was probably the best road game the Wild have played in the playoffs since, you know, maybe game 7 against Colorado in 2014, you know, the Niederreiter goal. Like, that was a game where we had to come back 3 or 4 times. We were down by a goal and we just kept fighting. You know, this game we obviously had a great start, and even when the Blues kind of got the momentum, like, we were able to, you know, kind of stave off that pretty much, you know, with the goal by Kaprizov. So I don't know, it's just really refreshing to see the Wild actually, like, not seem to get rattled, you know, like they normally would. And I'd say, like, one of the big things is, like, their power play has looked more effective. You know, they've been getting shots from one-timers, they've been getting rebounds, and then just early in the season they were just passing the puck. They didn't know when to take the shot. It's super nice to see the Wild actually, like, you know, being successful doing the things that they know they can do. And, you know, before they were maybe trying to force things. And even against, even the first 2 games, I didn't think the Wild played the best. I thought they scored 6 goals in game 2, but they just played a better game tonight. And, you know, if they can play like that in game 4 and 5, you know, they'll be on their way to Colorado. So, really appreciate you guys having me on. I'd love to come on again, I'll hang up and listen.
Love the man cave stuff, dude. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, if they play like they're going to play like this, Judd, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat them. It's going to be hard to
win. Yeah, I think the Blues are going to play a better game in game 5. But here's the thing. The Blues' defensive losses are a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing. They're playing guys too much. Their blue line core is not nearly as solid. This is almost certainly a different series if they're healthy back there. I think the Blues are going to play a better game on Sunday. But that being said, the fact that the Wild came out with the performance they did tonight is absolutely huge to me.
Let's keep it rolling here on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to our guy, Ryan. Ryan, welcome back, man. How are you? Been a while.
Good. How are you?
Good,
awesome.
Man.
Awesome.
So, the last guy kind of, like, sold some sports memorabilia with some Wild. So I'll kind of show you some 1980 Olympic hockey gear.
Nice.
Very cool. Love that.
Oh, dude, that's great. Who signed that?
Bill Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Baker.
Scored the tying goal against Sweden in game one.
Yeah. Local Minnesota boy.
Love it.
I met him at a local hockey tournament when I was a kid. And that's how I got that jersey signed. But tonight and game two as well, it seemed like the Minnesota Wild kind of went to school on how the St. Louis offense would go to work. And I started to notice the Wild would only send one guy up towards the top of the circle, mm-hmm. and two guys from the faceoff dot and below down to try to keep away from those rebounds. Do you guys think that is completely done from film study or from the style of goaltending that Marc-Andre Fleury plays?
Thanks, dude.
Yeah,
Dex,
great stuff. Yeah, his observation there, Ryan, of having those guys down low and then still keeping people up top, it's huge. I think that's what was a big issue in game one. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury's 37. He's not going to move and honestly change the style he's ever that he's just going to play now that he's up there in age. Like, it's not going to change who he is. So when he gives up those rebounds, that defense has to sell out. And Ryan's dead on there. Like, having those guys there, this is where also I do miss our great friend Lindsey Brown, LB, killing it in Las Vegas right now. She would be great to break down that goalie dissection, that also that defense in front of
she's
you.
She's got time.
Making it down. She does. She just said Vegas isn't in the playoffs this year.
She can join us.
But Marc-Andre Fleury, too, that observation, dead on. That's exactly the type of goaltender you're going to see from Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, and they definitely made some penalty kill adjustments after game one as well, I think, in bringing guys back a little bit.
Yeah.
But that being said, when the Blues put five forwards tonight at one point on, I think it was their second power play, I'm all for pressuring them. Five forwards don't know what to do. There's no quarterback. When you got five forwards, there's zero QBs on the power play. So, but yeah, I think they definitely made adjustments. And I also think that Fleury's done a better job. It's not that he's cut the rebounds out. I think he's done a better job with rebound control since game one. Don't you?
It's better.
I mean, it's not great, but it's all where you put the rebound too.
Correct. It's the direction of where he's trying to put it. Yes, that has changed. I do agree with you there. All right, we'll keep it rolling here. Wild Bentline. A few more callers left. Let's go to John. Hi, John. How are you, man?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, man. Doing well.
Happy night tonight. A couple things that I've noticed. First of all, does it seem like we're winning more face-offs, especially key face-offs? I would say since beginning of March, it seems like it's been trending that way. And I know we're going up against one of the best face-off men in the NHL regularly. And it seems like we're winning a lot of key face-offs, which is setting the table like Brodin's goal tonight. And also, something happened to me tonight. When we went up 3-0, there was not a doubt in my mind that we were going to win that game because a Hall of Fame goaltender just doesn't give up four goals in an NHL playoff game.
That hasn't
happened until tonight. And yeah, game one was terrible. I had to listen to Kyle Brodziak scream a couple times just to get over it. But I am overjoyed in the way we're playing, the discipline. The only knucklehead play I thought was Fiala had some time and space on the wall there to clear the puck instead of getting it the right way. But
correct.
Again, I appreciate you guys. I first started watching this year, and I really, really started liking you guys when you waved the flag on the Fleury trade. So that's what I
got. Well, then hold on, because, you know, the flag is still – I got the new flag now. The new towel, huh?
Love the Heartsea shirt there from our guy Chief as well. Love the
That's great.
Yeah, the shirt I went and got out of the mailbox tonight. I'm on top of a mountain in Wyoming, and tonight, so I saved it for tonight, and I won't put this in the washer for the rest of the series now.
I respect it. Respect it, John. Thanks for coming on, man.
See you again Sunday, dude. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Love that coming out from Wyoming. Yeah, that's great. That's it was a near damn near. Isn't that great too? When like you have that feeling of like, hey, they're kicking ass early and they're gonna hold this league. So you have that goaltender that to back it up and the team in front that's still not gonna give up.
And the only thing I liked about the O'Reilly goal was the fact that the Blues then pressured them for a while, and then the Wild's like, no, we're taking back the control. Like, that's a Minnesota, that's the whole 4-2 thing in game two, right? Oh my God, they're going to blow this. It's going to be 4-3. And for a second it looked, and then Goudreau makes the backdoor play to break up what looks like it's going to be the 4-3 goal. And then Kaprizov makes the play and then gets the goal. These are all calming things. They're all, as the Whisper likes to say, they're all reference points. Right. They're all very important reference points. And I love the fact that because the playoffs are never, they're not supposed to be easy. Like, it's not supposed to be, well, they won 6-0 tonight. Wasn't that fun? They're supposed to have a little bit of adversity that you have to, like, learn from. And they did that again.
Keep it moving here. Wild event line as Jug cracks another Surly there. Thanks to our friends at Surly Brewing.
Yep,
got to keep it up a little bit.
Yep, the coffee vendor. It's, you know what it is? Saturday morning. It's time for coffee.
Dak, what's up, man?
Yeah, Doc, how's it going?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doc, what's up?
So I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on when do you think someone's going to have to address Shen, like Delorier? Someone's got to get in his face because, I mean, he's going to hurt someone. He's taking runs at guys. He's headhunting all night long. Like, when is Delorier going to have to step in and you know, pound the brakes off of him? Because I'm just like, yeah, that's it.
Doc, first of all, the most important thing was this. Early third period. Did you notice who Eriksson Ek knocked off the puck and then Foligno picked it up behind the net and fed Eriksson Ek for a goal? It was Shen. So that's how you get at him, because he screwed up and you scored a goal. Second of all, I don't think you address Shen until you have the series in hand. If you are about to win the series and it's the third period, you know, let's say in game five or six. Yeah. And you want to send Delorier out there to beat him up. Good for you. That's awesome. Before then, I don't do it. Anything you do that addresses what Shen is doing is a nod to the fact the Blues, what they're trying to do is working.
Yep.
I thought the Ek hit to jar the puck loose from Shen was the most effective thing that you could do in the short term. Because there's no, you do not want to put them on the power play. You do not want to address, because this isn't even their style. They're out. Them running around in the first period to me was such a huge tell. Because that's not who they are now. Correct. It's who they used to be. It's not who they are now. They are basically saying to you, we're desperate to have you draw penalties, so we're going to do dumb things. Let them do, you know, the Ots, right, Dex? The Roussels. Yep. To go way back when the Bertuzzis, let them do their thing. Let them run around and be out of their mind crazy and ignore it. It drives them nuts.
I also think there's a time and place for Delorier to drop those gloves, but yes, don't take the bait. Take it. Right. He knows when he wants to do it. He'll know when he wants to do it.
Late in the series. And I do agree with the point. It needs to be Delorier. I do not want Foligno fighting. I don't want him taking any chances.
I agree. Keep it moving. A few callers left. Pete, hey, what's up, man?
Hey, it's a great night to be an away fan here. You know.
Oh, nice. You're in St. Louis.
Yes, sir. I am a Wild fan in St. Louis. Great game. Great to see fans leaving. You know, kind of a little bit of a payback from game one, right? Leaving early third period. I was behind Husso for two periods, so about 8-9 rows back. I have a buddy that has season tickets, so
nice.
You know, I'm tapped in with the Blues fan base, but they're worried right now, and I love it. You know, it's the first time where the Blues, I feel like, are a little bit nervous about the Wild this series, and I've gotten a lot of chirping after game one, and game two we kind of proved ourselves, and this is perfect.
So what are the Blues? What are the Blues doing? Like, the first period, that's not them now. Like, they're running around trying to be, goon it up. That's who they were in 19. What are they, like, are they that scared? I don't understand
Well, they're kind of compensating, right? They're overcompensating for their lack of defense. So they're kind of playing like what I feel like that first game before the end of the season, the first game against Calgary, really that back-to-back, right, where we got we made our trades. Maybe that was before, but we made our trades and we thought we were the tough kid in the block, and we got away from our game. We're really like, you know, we can back our skill up with some toughness, but we really are a skilled, fast, Colorado Avalanche-esque team with a little bit of grit. But we're not going to run you out of the building.
Right.
We're just, you know, we have that 1-2 punch. And I think we tried to prove that in game one. And that's, you know, that plays right into the Blues. Like, yeah, sure. We're second best in the power play. But guess what? Tonight, there was no bad penalties. The penalties I took, you know, the Wild took, like, I'm fine with those. All day. Let's take those all day. But, you know, just want to say, you know, I've been in St. Louis for about 5 years. I've been to the 25th. I went to Mizzou for college. So 2012. I've
nice.
Been in, so I've been 2015 playoffs, 2017, and this year. And, you know, I saw the game one 2015 Zucker wraparound Zucker.
Meteorite.
I have to do but this beat it all, because I mean, when you have Blues fans leaving, and usually I went to the Winter Classic as well, and took my friends from St. Louis up. This was the best game I've been to Blues Wild by far.
Love
we
that.
Have them worried, boys. We have them on the ropes. Let's end it in 5 or 6. Let's go.
Hell yeah,
let's
Pete.
Go Wild.
When's the last time you felt and Pete? When's the last time you felt this good about a Wild team, too? Like,
I mean, never. I mean, I mean,
you're right.
Literally never. This is a cup. Let's see. I mean, I think this is an 01 cup. I wish it showed the year. Yeah,
I remember those. I had those.
02, 03. You know,
dude,
I've been around for. I've been around the block. You know, I think I'm. You. You know, around the same age as you here. And you know, it's so refreshing. No trap offense, and we have the skill to back it up. And I think we're the better team. The one thing that worries me about the Blues is, like, you know, Scandella's back. You know, I don't, who knows about Bertuzzi and the other guys, and if they get healthy. You're right, Judd. It's a completely different series if they're healthy. But right now, let's hit them while they're down. Like, how many playoff series has it been where it's like, oh, you know, Brodin's playing with an injury and Spurgeon's out, and, you know, those are excuses. Like, they can have excuses. We'll go to the second round. You know,
absolutely.
Let them have their excuses.
You don't give a damn. Great stuff,
Pete.
Man. Thank you.
Great
Thanks,
stuff,
guys.
Enjoy.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that's awesome. Pete, that was call of the night right there. Pete down in enemy territory, just loving life, loving this Wild team.
The Blues towel. I like the Blues towel.
I like that as well.
It's a great logo, by the way.
Is it Corey?
Yeah, Corey.
What's up, man? How
are I like
you?
The stuff behind you, Corey.
Yeah, yep. I got the signed Jonas Brodin breezers as well on the mannequin.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The Gabrick, the old school Gabrick.
AW yep. belt, big fan. Love it.
Love
noise.
It.
Yeah.
I love you guys. I just wanted to know what you guys thought about how my man Eriksson Ek is just underrated in the NHL.
Dude's a pest, man. He's a pest, and he's a lot more skilled than people think he is.
No one talks about him.
As I told Declan after game two, you know what he is? And I've seen these guys a lot. He is the perfect playoff player. He is the perfect. He's the guy now that will, like, it would be, knock on wood, it would be fun to see the Wild make a Stanley Cup type run, because the attention he'll get then will be what he deserves.
Oh yeah.
This guy has turned himself into a marvelous player, but here's the thing. He's got skill. He's really good, but he works so damn hard. Like in January and February, you appreciate him. In May and June, you love him.
Oh yeah.
You know, think about what this line is doing right now. And they're playing. And by the way, they're going against the Blues' best line. You know, top offensive line. It's hilarious. Two, 3 years back, we're like, how could you not take Brock Besser?
Yeah.
Chuck Fletcher goofed up, blah, blah, blah. This guy and you know, Dina, I think, talked about this after game two. You know, Eriksson Ek is perpetually hurt. because of how he plays. He's always, something's always wrong. He doesn't even go in the training room. Winning player.
Yeah, man.
So you're right. 100%
yeah. Right. Great stuff, dude. Love him too. He's been awesome. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate
love
it.
Love the Breezers. That's great.
Yeah, that's actually awesome. All right. Let's just maybe one or two left here. My guy, Colin, down in Florida, right?
Yep.
How are you, Colin?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, that's good, a great old school 70s-ish. 70s.
It's a Neil Roddy jersey, but yeah, you know.
That's great. Love it.
Yeah.
What do you think of the game,
man? No, I loved it. They look tough. As Billy would say, they look tough. This is back like 1991 when they had Bobby Smith before they moved. And it looked awesome. They looked incredible. Kirill is a superstar.
Right. They didn't have Kirill. Like, that team didn't have Kirill. Like, that's the thing about it. They didn't have, you know, God bless them. I watched the 81 and 91 North Stars make runs to the Stanley Cup Finals, but they never had a Kirill. Nope. Tino was great. Broughton was great. I love those guys.
Modano was amazing, but yeah.
But he wasn't there yet. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, I live now in Orlando, but I've lived here for 20 years, and I've acclimated the Tampa Bay Lightning to being my pro sports team that I root for here. And Ryan McDonough went to my high school.
Yeah.
Two straight Stanley Cups, and we're ready. I mean, we have grit. We have grit, though. Like, we're getting gritty. Like, Bill Guerin, everything like that. I've lived here long enough to be like, you know, we need that. We need that in Minnesota with every sport. And
I got
we
bad
are
news for
down
you.
And we go for it.
I got bad news for you. The Leafs are about to put you on the ropes.
Well, they've won two straight, so they've already got their
the Leafs.
They've already got
that's
it, so it's okay. That's fine.
You're right.
So we shall see.
Touché.
But I care about this. You know, I care about my hometown. I care about the Lower East Side of St. Paul. And by the way, Judd, my dad's best friend was a guy named Les Auger. If you're a hockey guy, everybody mm-hmm. talks about the movie Miracle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ralph Cox was the last one cut, but
yep.
Les Auger went to St. Paul Johnson back in the day.
Go Gubbies, so. Baby.
Awesome.
Love it.
I saw him
love
in the 84 Colin. State tournament.
Fair enough.
Eastside Pride. Eastside Pride, Colin. I'm from
Eastside Pride. Athlete.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Colin. Hell yeah. Love me. Any St. Paul guy is a friend of mine. So love that. Good for Colin there. All right. Well, let's try Sam. Hey, Sam, if you're hanging out in the green room there, if you want to turn on your camera, I'll see if I can get you on here to wrap. Otherwise, let's see here. Sam.
Hey, guys. Didn't know I had my little thing down.
No, you're good.
Thanks.
What's up?
Good to see you again. Thanks for having me back. Obviously, enjoyed myself tonight. Love the game plan, discipline, the sticks. Just a quick hypothetical for you. You're mm-hmm. going to game five at the X, mm-hmm. not as journalists, not as podcasters, just as fans. Let's take away goaltenders because it's not interesting. Let's take away Kaprizov, Fiala because it's obvious. And just for fun, let's take away Ek and Zuccarello. Whose sweater are you wearing and why?
Oh, that's a great question.
Oh, hold on a second. So.
So
Zuccarello.
Kaprizov and Fiala off the table. I mean, is Foligno on the table? Is that still on the table?
Yeah.
I would wear a Marcus Foligno jersey.
That's
wear a
my answer,
jersey.
But...
Yeah, I would probably go.
You know what Foligno. I'm wearing? Number five, Jake Middleton.
Okay.
I love what he's become. I love what he's become. And I said after game his first game, I'm like, he didn't look good, and he didn't. But I have wanted a defenseman like him on this team forever. Because he's not flashy, he's not sexy, but he's really good, and he provides a big man presence. And I can't tell you how important I think a guy like that is. And plus, I think Jake plays like I live my life. Not flashy, but he stands people up at the blue line, and you're not going to get away with BS.
Sexy.
I'm wearing a number five.
Love it. Great question, Sam. I love that, man.
Good to see you guys. Have a good night.
Appreciate you
awesome,
coming
dude.
On.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Perfect question to wrap up here.
Ben. I actually saw a question on Twitter tonight that I loved. It's sort of a jinx question, so I will knock on wood before I say it. But the question was, and I forget who posed it, but it's a fun one to think about. Mm-hmm. If the Wild won the Stanley Cup, mm-hmm. who would Jarrett Spurgeon, because the captain gets the cup, who would he hand it to first? Because that's always a big honor, you know? Ooh. So, like, the captain gets it, and now he passes it on. The answers I saw from a couple people were Foligno. But I was trying to think, I thought, that's a fun question. Like, who would be the next person to
you know,
tee up the cup?
It might sound kind of cheap and maybe even, like, lame, but I think Fleury gets it. I think Fleury's the second guy to grab that.
Oh, that's yeah. not, no. Krill, no, I don't think that's cheap at all.
Yeah,
I thought Krill. Of I thought of both of them.
Yeah. I think Flower would be second. And but you know, Marc-Andre is such a decorated gentleman that he'd be like, give it to Kirill. You know, give it to someone who's right. been there and done that before.
But I agree. That's a great question. At the deadline.
That might be a good write that down when we get there here in a week.
That's a good it's a very I don't want to jinx it by saying that. But I mean it's a fun question. I also think at some point in time here, and he doesn't speak obviously fluent English at this point in time, but at some point in time, Krill's going to have to wear the C.
Yeah. Ovechkin wears the C.
Right. Well, and you're just, but he always tried, to his credit, like when he got here, he tried to like take questions without interpreter at one point. But anyway, he's just so good. Like you can't not have him be a captain at some point, not yet, but at some point in time. But yeah, I think that's a good one. And if they won the cup, I think Fleury would very much probably deserve it the way he's playing. All right, wrap it up because I'm going to drink some more of my coffee bender.
You boys got a tea time here in like 9 and 8.5 hours, so I'm going to get some rest after I post some things here and hit some bombs off some tea boxes here in about 8 hours just down the road.
Hit me bombs, but you will be wearing your chill
my chill drives. Hey, just same with self plug. My drives have been it's the best I've ever driven to start a year in my life. Everything else has been a humongous problem, which does not shock.
Just don't forget to drink your Shirley on the course when the person driving the drink cart comes around.
No problem. Judd's Hockey Show. Judd's all good. That's Declan Goff. Hit the subscribe button right here for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. We'll be back for game 4, 3:30. Thankfully, puck drop on Mother's Day. Shout out to mom. So we'll have a 3:30 puck drop post-game show right here in this YouTube channel. At about 7-8 o'clock.
And let's get some mom hockey fans on.
Would love some mom hockey.
Like the
fans
one thing,
on.
Like I love this show, mm-hmm. and I love our callers or our appearances. Mm-hmm. We need some moms, women to come on and join. I mean, because I know there's a lot of people that love this sport.
My loving girlfriend Kelsey's mom Kelly helped me up with all the setup today. Okay,
there is a zero. And like there is a zero judgment zone here. So
no,
let's get some moms on to talk hockey.
All right, I love it. Judd's Hockey Show, Wild win. They're up 2-1 in their best of 7 series against St. Louis Blues. We'll be back on Sunday for Judd Zolgad. I'm Declan Goff, and to our friend of the show, Billy Gehringer Rapp. This is about one thing, pass, shoot, score.
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgy?
Hard work and having fun.
That. This is about winning.